Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Terrell Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes. Quick turnaround week. You are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Terrell Davenport. We got David James over there making it happen.
Yes, sir.
Man, this is an interesting show here because we've got a preview, post-game, all that in one on the show. But, hey, it's all good. We'll make it work. We got Rob Domofsky coming on, ESPN, NFL Nation Packers reporter. We got Run TMC with Chris Sanders. And we got me kicking it off. And I say this, you know, you look at what the Titans offense was able to do last week, or actually earlier this week on Sunday, they did an excellent job finally getting the passing game going. David, believe you this.
Mm-hmm.
Up until Sunday's game, the Titans had collectively one touchdown among their receiving corps.
Oh, my goodness.
You and I had as many 100-yard receiving games as the Titans receiving corps up until that Broncos game. But look what happened. Nick Westbrook Ikhine came through. And I tell you, I want to give Tannehill some props because, A, on that bum ankle, he was able to scramble and get yards. But then he also stood tall in the pocket. Before he did that, he recognized the blitz was coming. He checked to, a different protection to pick that up. Westbrook Ikhine ran the corner route, and you talk about ball placement. He couldn't have stood over top of him and dropped the ball in his arms better than that. And that was a touchdown. Westbrook Ikhine, very good job getting both feet down, a little toe drag swag going there. And that was the first touchdown. And then the flea flicker was really good. But Before the flea flicker, I want to point something else out. We always talk about getting your guys in position to make plays and designing plays for guys to get in good position, you know, to get touches. And it was a 15-yard gain, right? You had Treylon Burks start from the left, motion to number one on the right. Number two was Robert Woods running a clear route. Number three, furthest inside, was Chig Okonkwo. He ran an in-breaking route. That cleared up nothing but space. Burks ran a shallow cross. He caught it, turned upfield for another 10 yards, and you got yak, yak, yak. And that's what you have to do with your receivers. You send them in motion like that. It makes it difficult for there to be any chatter at the line of scrimmage. It's harder, you know, to get your hands on the receiver. And then you put them in a situation where you have runoffs and then an easy catch. That was outstanding game planning by Todd Downing. And then to go back the very next play, because what have they shown a tendency to do, David? Run on first down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no problem. This is what he did. Flea flicker. They set it up. Westbrook Ikhine made the catch. Nice cutting it back inside. Made Kareem Jackson look like he was a cow on ice the way he slipped. And next thing you know, it's a touchdown. So outstanding job by them. I want to also point out the defense because – let me tell you, I don't know. Have you ever watched that movie, I Am Legend?
Yeah, of course.
You know when Will Smith was hugging his dog and they kept running and banging at the door?
Yes. That's
the Titans' defensive line, David.
They just
keep coming and coming and coming. They didn't have Jeffrey Simmons playing. Tyre Tart, DeMarcus Walker, Rashad Weaver, Mario Edwards Jr., Larrell Murchison, Naquan Jones, Kevin Strong. These guys all just kept coming and coming. You had 1.5 sacks from Rashad Weaver. You had 1.5 sacks from DeMarcus Walker. I am really impressed with what these guys are able to do, especially Terrell Williams, you know, seeing that work that they put in, transfer from practice to the game. It's so much fun to watch, and I really enjoy seeing them able to do that. And then you got David Long. You know, he had a stinger. He just continues to play outstanding football. The Titans are going to be without Amani Hooker against the Packers, so that's going to be – and Lonnie Johnson, so Josh Kalu has to step up. I mean, he did. He had a tip pass. Terrence Mitchell was able to get the interception. But this game against the Packers is going to be interesting because you got a guy in Aaron Rodgers who still is able to scramble with the best of them and has one of the strongest arms. He's like Russell Wilson, able to scramble backwards and still throw the ball down the field. I'm really curious how that's going to work. And then one area that really sticks out to me, back shoulder throws. Mm-hmm. And they do some really good things. Actually, Whiteboard Wednesday, I drew it up, how they isolated Christian Watson backside. And Christian Watson, we're talking about a 6'4 deer. He's a deer, man. He's part deer. The way he runs, his get off, he has a lot of gas, like off the line of scrimmage, like quick speed. Normally a 6'4 guy, they have build up speed, but he has quick speed. So really outstanding game for him Sunday against the Cowboys, 3 touchdowns. But they'll isolate him and they'll run that back shoulder. They'll also run that that go route, you know. And I talked to Roger McCreary. He said it's all about fighting through the tuck. That's what he's going to do and try to get a body on him, you know, at the line of scrimmage. So that's their approach there. It's going to be interesting watching that. You know, I think on the flip side, that pack and play side of things, Derrick Henry's going to get, he's going to get his carries this week. Todd Downing said down and distance kind of dictated him not getting as many carries as he normally does. But I think this is a week that they get back on that 22 train. So we'll see what happens there. I looking forward to the game, man. It's going to be a prime time one. So it's always good to, you know, get those eyes, the extra eyes on the work. But we're going to go ahead and go to a break, and we'll come right back, and it's going to be time for Run TMC.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Run, run, TMC. For you. Fresh, fresh, fresh,
fresh. Bang.
All right, here we go. The lights fade. Here comes the music. And now, coming to you live from the Philadelphia Spectrum for your 76ers. Shooting guard from Bradley University, number 33, Percy Hawkins.
And now, starting with the group Public Enemy, Flavor Flav.
Don't believe the hype.
What's up, big dog? What's cracking like it with you, man?
Oh, man, there's a lot going on, This Titans team going to be shorthanded again, man. It's interesting how this Packers game could play out. They'll be without multiple starters.
Yeah.
So that's something. One of the things I thought was interesting about this is I go back and look at it again. You got Bud Dupree, who's out.
Mm-hmm.
You got Jeffrey Simmons questionable. So that's a really good part for the you know, the group. And one of the other things, Christian Fulton, he was a full participant, and he is good to go. And that's really important. And here's why. You look at how many explosive plays this team has given up. It's a large amount, and it's one that they have to get under control. Yeah. Most of it has been, except for Saquon Barkley's explosive run, most of it has been through the passing game. And this week, the Packers have a guy by the name of Christian Watson. And let me tell you something. I saw him in person warming up and working out at the combine in the, you know, how they work out in the convention center with the speed coaches and stuff. And this dude has some gas. His get off is crazy. Quick acceleration.
Right.
So you've watched him. We're talking about a guy that's 6'4", you know, in the 4'3" range. You know, talking to Roger McCreary, he said that one of the things they have to do is get a body on him at the line of scrimmage. And then we talked about the importance. I talked with him as well as Terrence Mitchell about the importance of fighting all the way through the tuck.
Yep.
So I'm going to just turn the table over to you and just kind of upon that and just give me your thoughts on Christian Watson.
Sure. I mean, he's a big time wide receiver. And you remember when they was doing the draft, those are one of the guys that we were eyeing that the Titans maybe should get because you know, if you look at it in the draft, there's a lot of good receivers in there, but he was one of those guys that was a polished receiver. When I say polished receiver is he understood how to get off the line of scrimmage. He understood how to run routes. He understood how to set guys up. He understood how to stack the defensive back. So McCrary and Mitchell, those guys are going to have to fight at the line of scrimmage. And when I say fight at the line of scrimmage, that's they got to figure out a way to get him off rhythm. And the thing about it is, one thing that I love about Watson is what he does at the line of scrimmage. You know, everybody talks about Davante Adams, who does his release. This guy is a little different, but he understands how to set guys up. So these defensive backs for the Tennessee Titans, they got to make sure, just like what you said, put a body on him, put a hand on him, and make sure you alter him in running his routes.
So when you say knock that timing off, just kind of get into that so they can understand exactly what you mean, because you are right. Aaron Rodgers, if you're not in that place that you got to be, when you got to be there, he's going to let you have it.
Oh, absolutely. It's like, just say if I got a 15-yard comeback and it's a five-step drop by the quarterback. The quarterback's going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and on that fifth step, he's throwing it. So as a defensive back, I want to hit him and jolt him a little bit off so the time is off. So when he gets out of the cut, the timing's going to be off between the quarterback and the wide receiver. And that's what I talk about, to try to get him off his spot, to get him off his line, to make sure it alters his route. So when you have him do that, then the quarterback is going to be off throwing it to the wide receiver. So that's kind of what I'm talking about by getting him off his timing a little bit.
And then what about a guy like that on those go routes? You mentioned, you know, the timing again, but how do you go about defending that guy that big on go routes? And then also on the back shoulder side of things.
Yeah, but see, the thing
you know, Aaron Rodgers throws that back shoulder as well as anybody.
Yeah, but see, the thing about it is you know, McCrary or Mitchell's got to make sure they stay on top of them. When I stay on top of them, is never get in the chasing position, because if you're in the chasing position, it's a wrap. So what you got to do is whatever angle, whatever release he tries to take, you got to cut him off to the spot. So I'm going to give the listeners a visual example. Just imagine Watson and McCrary, they're going one-on-one. And Watson takes a wide release and doesn't get back on top of him. That's what I mean by McCrary beating him to the spot as opposed to letting him get on top of him and let him throw it into a window to where only Watson can catch the pass.
Yeah, that's important. And then that back shoulder, what is the science of that? I know, you know, the quarterback, he's basically ear-holing the receiver, right?
Yes.
Back in the helmet, that's where he's aiming for. But what's the science of that, getting that timing down and making that thing work?
You know, I watched this, and the best person I've ever seen do that was – Chris Chandler and Humphreys, they used to play for the Houston Oilers. Haywood Jeffries, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I mean, he told you he was running the back shoulder. He actually told Chris Dishman, he actually told Blaine Bishop, I'm running the back shoulder fade. But what the key is when you release, you kind of take that wire release and you act nonchalant, and the quarterback's not throwing it to you. He's throwing it to a spot to where only the wide receiver knows, and that's why those back shoulder passes are so huge, because the key to the whole thing is the defensive back has his back turned to the quarterback, so he doesn't know when the ball is coming. So when the wide receiver is releasing off the line of scrimmage, he takes a slightly wider release, and he knows the ball is coming. Then all of a sudden, at the last minute, he turns back and catches the ball. That's the art and science of catching the back shoulder pass.
Yeah, and it's really an art and science. Just the timing of that is incredible.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that's almost impossible. I know it's DBs. They hate to have to go against that. What else do you see from this Packers receiver group?
Man, I like Lazard. Lazard has been there for quite a while. He's a big body. He's one of those guys that can, you know, run a dig route, catch a slant, and actually take it the distance. So, you know, even though they have, you know, Christian Watson, I know they have Lazard that's been there for a while to really give, you know, Rodgers a security blanket, a guy who can make a play, a guy who can run the fade, a guy who can run the slant, a guy who can run the dig, a guy who specializes in making those big catches. So I know we're talking about Watson. Watson has 13 catches. Lazard has 33. So it shows you who's the favorite target right now. So at the end of the day, somebody is going to have to make sure they put a body on him so he doesn't make those dig routes and take the distance, because he's capable of doing that.
Yeah, and then when you look at Lazard, the slants that he runs and those type of things, what's with the timing on that? If you notice, Aaron Rodgers, we talk about the back shoulder, but throwing those slants is something that he does consistently really well, sets these guys up to get yards after the catch. And you saw what he did against the Cowboys.
Yeah. I mean, that's good stuff, because the thing about it is Aaron Rodgers not throwing to the man. He's throwing to a spot. He expected Lazard to get there by any means necessary, because he definitely has to get there. It's kind of like this. Just say you run a slant. The DB shade inside. What he wants to do is sell the nine route, come underneath, so Aaron Rodgers is waiting till he gets to a spot, and he's throwing it to a spot. When I say a spot, he's throwing it in certain kind of windows to where Lazard can catch it. So it's a timing thing. It's a trust thing. But that's why those guys have been doing it for years, because they've been working on timing, but also they trust each other.
So let's shift the gears. Anytime we talk about the Titans offense, obviously, you know, Derrick Henry comes to the forefront. 8 carries in the first half. It was the lowest he had in the first half since the Bills game in week 2. Yeah. And then you look at his 53-yard rushing total. That was the lowest that he had since 2018 when they beat the Jets in a win. So what happened there? What are your thoughts when Todd Downing says that down and distance, not getting that success on early downs, dictated and warranted Henry only having 8 carries?
I mean, I think that's the key. I mean, it dictates, you know, what you can do in your play calling when you're behind the chain. So, you know, and I look at it, everybody look at it as it is a disappointing day. I mean, everybody's got to understand that the Broncos had a good rushing defense. I mean, a physical defense. I know they wasn't, you know, I think they were 22nd or 23rd in the run, but they still were a good defense. So they loaded up the box. When you have a lot of guys in the box, sometimes it's kind of hard to run against a stout defense. So even though he had 8 carries for 53 yards, I still think it was a win, because he still sometimes will stand in front of the chain. So I think, you know, we've been spoiled. I've been spoiled. It's because we're looking at those explosive runs. We're looking at those 100-yard games where he had, you know, 4 or 5 games consistently, you know, getting over 100 yards, and then he gets 53. He just got to stay with what he's doing and trust the offensive line and keep standing in front of the chains.
Yeah, and that's really what it's about, staying in front of the chain. You're right, because, you know, down and distance does dictate how things are going to flow. I mean, if you run for 1 yard on first down and it's 2nd and 9, I mean, chances are you're going to pass there, you know?
Yeah, that's important.
With Henry, though, so we're going through 9 games. Derrick Henry is averaging 4.6 yards per carry.
Mm-hmm.
He's over the 200 carry plateau. He's 2nd in the league in rushing. He's 8 yards behind Saquon Barkley, who has 931 yards. So do the math. That takes you to 923.
Right.
I think when you look at Henry, it's safe to say he's back to where he was, correct?
Yeah. I say that he's back, but he might not have that second gear that he has to run away from guys, but it's still effective. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Everybody looks at when he played against the Jacksonville Jaguars a while ago, where he had a 99-yard run and he ran by everybody. He might not have that top speed, but here's one thing that he has, TD. He's physical, boss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's physical. He's going to run through your face. And those 0 to 20 yards, he's fast as anybody. He hits the hole. It's that outside zone, inside zone, to where it's one stick and go, one plant and go, and he's coming downhill. And when you have a guy that's fast between 0 to 20, he might not have the top speed that he had a while ago, but he's still been effective by getting those tough, nasty, stank yards. And that's why he's back, fellas. He's back.
Yeah, without a doubt. But what do you make of that, getting caught from behind by Steven Nelson against the Texans, the 56-yard run, and then the other one against the Chiefs, getting caught behind by Legarius Sneed and Trent McDuffie? Now, here's something that's interesting. On both of those runs, he hit 20 miles an hour.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. He still got 56 yards. You know what I'm saying? We forget about it. Yeah,
exactly.
He got 56 yards. He may have gotten caught, but he had to do something special to get 56 yards. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So even though we've been spoiled, and I'm talking about myself, of him not getting caught, yeah, he got caught, but he still had 56 yards on a carry. It ain't going to say, well, he had a 56-yard run, but he got caught. They're going to say he had 56 yards and ended up with 219. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's serious, man. Yeah, that is
absolutely
serious. So you do think he has somewhat lost a step, though?
I say he lost a little bit. It's just that top-end speed that he had. I mean, because when he got it open, nobody was going to catch him a few years ago. Now it's kind of like, he's up to top speed, but he just doesn't have that second or third gear that he had before. And that's not a bad thing. It's just that sometimes the wear and tear in football does that. Between that 0 and 20, oh, he's just as fast as anybody because he hits the hole with passion and with authority.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Absolutely.
So what do you think? What do you think happens in this game? You know, this is a team. It's cold. Yeah. I tell you what, man. I froze my behind off. I'm not gonna be that extreme. I was pretty cold earlier today recording a hit for SC, man. So I can only imagine how it's gonna be at night.
Oh, it's cold. It's gonna be cold. But here's the thing: you have two teams that have two great running games. You have Titans that have Henry and Hilliard, two-headed monster. You got the Green Bay Packers that have Jones and Dillon, two-headed monsters. So at the end of the day, the team that establishes the run early is the team that's going to win, because in these kind of conditions, you know, Lambeau, it's going to be cold, it's going to be windy. So the team that established the run early is the team that's definitely going to win. But both teams have a two-headed monster, so whatever two-headed monster shows up and is physical in the run game, that's the team that's going to win.
What's the importance of the Titans pack and play? They have what I call a pack and play team, right? They're really good at run defense, and they run the ball with authority. How can that be the key to going into a place like Lambeau and winning?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it is when you're in this cold weather, you know, you want to establish a run, that physical attitude of saying, you know what, even though the elements doesn't allow us to throw the ball, but our identity is in running the ball. So now when you're going into Lambeau, you're feeling confident because these are the type of games you want. These are the type of things that makes your team so much better. Why? Because this is your identity of your team. We're going to run the ball. We're going to be physical at the line of scrimmage. We're going to run through your face. And maybe once in a while, we'll take a shot. And then on defense, we already know, man, this defensive line is amazing. I don't care who's in there. I don't care if Simmons is in there. Yeah, we want him in there. But Dupree ain't in there. But you got other guys that are definitely stepping up, like Walker, Weaver, Edwards, Jones. All those guys had sacks. So even though you don't have your top guys in there, the culture of this team is built that our identity is we're going to run through your face and we're going to impose our will on you. So I believe that on offense, they establish run. On defense, they be physical. Let's go get this win in Lambeau.
Yeah, and I tell you what, overall, running the football is trending up right now.
Absolutely.
The league average is 4.6 yards per carry, league average, which is as high as it's been in, I think, over the last 5 years.
Right.
While the league average on passing the ball is 11 point something yards per pass, which is the lowest it's been in almost 50 years.
Right.
So
wow.
It's interesting how the league is shifting over to what the Titans have done since 2018. I thought that was something. What do you make of that? I know as a receiver, you know, you don't want to see the running game as much because you want to get your chance to shine. But what do you make of that?
Now, if you look at old school, the teams that won the Super Bowl, they established a run. Look at when we went to the Super Bowl. We had Eddie George that established a run because that was the identity of our team. And then the next year, who wins the Super Bowl? It was the Ravens. Why did the Ravens win? It wasn't that they had an elite passing game. They had a guy on their team that had 2,000 yards, and that's Lewis. So that was a team that was running the ball physical. And then I want to take it to college also. Look at last year, and I hate to say this, where Ohio State played Michigan. Michigan said, you know what, it's snowing out here. The wind is blowing. I'm going old school. I'm going 21 personnel, and I'm running through your face. So when you have success doing that with that old school playing football about being physical, it changes the whole dynamic because you better believe everybody wants to get these linebackers and, you know, defensive ends with, you know, 240 and fast and this and that. But when you got an offensive guard that's laying on you that's 320 and running through your face, it changes the whole dynamic of the game. And that's why I'm so glad that the running game in the old school is coming back.
Yeah, it does change the dynamic of the game. And, you know, as a team, as a defense specifically, it's deflating when somebody comes in and runs the ball to your throat. And then as people in the stands, you ever notice when that happens, like case in point, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots game, we're talking about the wild card game.
Yeah.
Man, they were all full of fire and salt and vinegar before the game started, man. Those fans they were even trash talking me. I'm like, look, man, I don't have a horse in the race. They were trash talking me, but I tell you what, once Derrick Henry ran through their lips, as you would say, it got real quiet in there.
Hey, you remember when they were playing the Buffalo Bills and Derrick Henry stiff-armed Norman? Look at the sidelines. Look at the sidelines. The sidelines going bananas. They're going bananas because that physical play where he stiff-armed into the to almost in the end zone. I mean, that dude, that's a grown man now. So that's
man. That was bad. That was bad business. And that man has a wife. He has kids. You can't be doing that to somebody, man. But, hey, it had to happen because, you know, Norman was talking this talk. And I guess Derrick Henry wasn't having it. So,
yes,
all
sir.
Right, well, what do you got? And to wrap it up, what do you have happening? Do you have the Titans winning this game?
I do, and I think the reason why is because the defense and the tenacity that they play with, whoever's playing, there's just the culture of that defense is – we don't care who you are. We don't care if you're Rodgers. We don't care if you're Lazard. We don't care if you're Watson. We don't care who you are. We're running through your lips and dare you to stop us. That's why I say the Tennessee Titans 24, the Green Bay Packers 17.
There you have it right there, ladies and gentlemen. Tyrone Hill has given you the pick. It is the Titans. There you go.
Appreciate you, Sam.
This is Jefferson. I'm talking with TD.
And that's right, you hear the music. That means it's time to go to Lambeau Field, Green Bay. We're going to bring in my man, Rob Domofsky, on the ESPN Sarah Nashville Chevy Buick GMC hotline. ESPN NFL Nation Green Bay Packers reporter, Rob Domofsky. Rob, what's going on?
Teron, how are you, my man?
I am doing better now. I got in out of that cold, so you know everything is good. I got the hotel heat on about 96, and I'm thawing out.
Well, we ordered about an inch of snow for you, just to so you could you know just kind of see what it's like here most of the time.
No problem. I guess you know, we just have to do it. What you got to do. It's all in the mind. And speaking of being in the mind, I want to jump right to Christian Watson. Because it seems like his mind is right now, and that's after, you know, having a tough struggle to start. He had a great game against the Cowboys. What have you seen from Christian Watson? What is behind the turnaround for him?
Yeah, I think it's just getting, first of all, healthy. Because going back to this summer, he's dealt with a knee injury that kept him out of training camp, a hamstring injury that kept him out of a couple of different games, not even consecutively, so it's kind of popped back up. Then he had a concussion. Then he had another week. The week after that, he was cleared but took another shot, and although they said it wasn't another concussion, they held him out anyway. So like, he had a lot of stuff to deal with. You throw in that he kind of had a rough start to the season. I mean, the first play of the year in Minnesota, they call his number on a 75-yard go, and Rodgers puts it right on the money, and it goes right through his hands, and you're like, oh, boy. And then even the other night against Dallas, Teron, he dropped two drops on the very first drive. So when they ran that go again, I'm like, well, there's no way he's catching this, right? And the ball's in the air, and you're like, okay, all right, let's see what he's got. And he hauled it in, and it was like, I don't know if he needed that, you know, to spark him, but it certainly did because he caught everything else thrown his way and had some big plays the other night. And you know, the question now is, well, two questions. One, the teams have to change the way they play these guys now because, they, you know, believe it or not, teams were daring the Packers to throw the ball, which is hard to imagine when you have Aaron Rodgers. And then two, can Christian Watson, you know, sort of, not that he's going to catch three touchdowns every game, not that he's going to have a 58-yarder every game, but he's the one guy on their offense that scares people from a speed standpoint. You know, and so, you know, can he at least make a play or two a game where you're like, okay, you know, this is different than what anybody else can give us?
Up until that point, you know, it seemed like a lot of the attention as far as the rookies were concerned was going more towards Romeo Doubs and his input. What has gone his direction? Where is he now as far as the passing game is concerned?
Yeah, he won't play because of an ankle injury that he sustained 2 weeks ago. Now, obviously, they didn't put him on injured. They didn't put him on injured reserve because they felt like he'd be back in sooner than four games. But he's out this week, Teron, and you know, they just haven't been able to get anything really going consistently at the receiver position. You know, one guy has a good week, and then he either gets hurt or you know, can't produce. So it's kind of been the story of the season, the inconsistencies with the receivers.
That's crazy. What about the rushing attack? This is a team that obviously wants to run the ball. The last time the Titans went to Lambeau, A.J. Dillon ran all over them. How are those guys looking, Dillon and Aaron Jones?
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Jones coming off of a huge game, and Dillon's contributing as well. The thing with them is, like, if you look at Jones's yards per carry, I mean, he's top five in the league among all backs right now. But, you know, at least before last week when he did actually get a decent number of carries, he'd been like 15th or 20th in attempts. Like, they just weren't getting enough. They weren't getting him enough touches because, A, they weren't committing to the run enough, and, B, they just weren't converting third downs to keep drives going. Like, their play counts were in the, like, 50s and low 60s all season, and you're just not going to be able to get, you know, you're just not going to be able to get your guys to football when you're only having 58, 60, 62 plays a game. It's just a bad formula.
Yeah, how's Aaron Rodgers handled all of this? I mean, I remember, you know, years ago he said R-E-L-A-X, relax. How is he handling it now, though? Because it's got to be tough for him, all these losses and frustrating performances.
Yeah, I think the difference in past years, like the relaxed year, which was 2014, or in 2016 when he said, you know, I still think we could run the table after they had lost four in a row and were 4-6. And sure enough, they did run the table all the way through the regular season and got all the way to the NFC Championship game with that before they lost. Like, the difference between those years and this year is those years he was pretty sure he had a good team. I mean, like, he had Jordy Nelson. He had Davante Adams in 16. He had a tight end like Jared Cook, who was coming back from an injury in 16 and was a playmaker. I'm not so sure that he thinks he has the playmakers this year, which is why, you know, I don't think you've heard him say at any point, like, anything that makes you think that he's sure that they're going to turn this around. I mean, he said, you know, we hope this is the start of something. We hope Chris Watson can do this. We hope we can keep getting the ball to Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. But there's not been one of those Aaron Rodgers statements, you know, where you're like, okay, he really thinks they have a chance. And not saying that they don't, but you can sort of tell that he thinks this team is just a little bit different and that he's, you know, he's not sure himself that this season's going to turn into anything.
And we're talking to ESPN NFL Nation Packers reporter Rob Domofsky. Rob, the offensive line, it just seems like that group is always dealing with something. You know, Elgin Jenkins, David Bakhtiari, John Runyon, these guys are all in questionable situations. That's got to make it tough too, huh?
Yeah, I think last week, this last game against the Cowboys, was the first game that they started their preferred offensive line and that line made it through the entire game. Like, even the week before against Detroit, they thought they had their regular offensive line, and then at halftime, David Bakhtiari's knee starts acting up, and he can't go. He's riding the bike the whole second half trying to get loose. And then for the last drive of the game, he taps LaFleur on the shoulder and says, "All right, I'm ready, coach." And he's like, "What do you mean you're ready now?" You know, like, it's just been the Bakhtiari situation has just been strange. I mean, he's had three knee surgeries in the last 20 some months, and he's questionable every week, you know, like, just because they just don't know what they're going to get from him week to week. Now, when he's played, he's been dominant. Like, he's been the all pro left tackle that he was. They just can't count on him, you know, week in and week out, or even quarter in and quarter out. You know, Elgin Jenkins, they thought they were going to put at right tackle, and he was a Pro Bowler at right or at left guard, and he just didn't replicate it at right tackle coming off the ACL injury. So he's back at left guard now. They moved Runyon from left guard to right guard. They have a new right tackle in Yash Nyman. I mean, it's just been a revolving door, a game of musical chairs there, whatever you want to call it. And that has got to affect them. I mean, the best Packers teams that are in the last, you know, 8 to 10 years have been teams that have had their entire offensive line, or at least most of it, at the same positions for the entire season.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And then you flip it to the other side of the ball. Look, I love the Packers secondary. Adrian Amos is outstanding, Darnell Savage, but the corners. I'm a huge Jair Alexander fan. I believe that he's a top three corner in this league. Rasul Douglas, I got cool with him in Philly when he got drafted in the third round out of West Virginia. What's up with the secondary? How are these guys coming together? Especially Sewell, man. He came in there, and he's really made a name for himself as a solid player.
Yeah, Rasul was the star of last season. I mean, they picked him up off of Arizona's practice squad in October, and he played basically from week 8 on. He led the league in interceptions. I think he had 5 over the last 8 or 9 weeks of the season, and they were game-saving interceptions. I mean, he won the game at Arizona with an interception in the end zone. He won the game against Cleveland on Christmas where he just he just clinched it, you know, with his pick. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. Last year, Alexander was hurt the whole year. Rasul Douglas never played with Jaire Alexander last year. So when they brought they had those guys back, they decided they're going to put Rasul in the slot. Well, he didn't play in the slot last year. He played outside all last year. So finally, this past week, and it was an injury that forced them to move Douglas back outside. But Eric Stokes, their outside cornerback, got hurt a couple of weeks ago in Detroit. He's done for the year, and so they moved Rasul outside where he belongs. Jaire outside where he belongs, and they moved Darnell Savage into the slot, which quite honestly is where he belongs. He had struggled at free safety. He wanted to play strong safety or near the line of scrimmage or in the slot all his time here, really. And last week was this last Sunday was the first time they did it. So they have the pieces. I mean, you're right. Like, now they lost Rashawn Gary, their best pass rusher, to an ACL injury, and obviously that hurts too. But before that, they had 7 first-round picks on defense, plus 4 guys that they signed to, you know, big free agent contracts. Rasul Douglas being one of them, Devondre Campbell, Preston Smith. I mean, they had guys that they signed and brought in here, Jaron Reed also. And it was baffling to why they weren't playing better defensively, because they have the personnel. I mean, on paper, this was a top, you know, top 5, top 10 defense. And starting with Justin Jefferson, who just torched them in week 1, and it kept going and going. They had blown coverages, missed assignments. Their run defense was not very good. I mean, last week they got killed by the draw plays. I mean, Derrick Henry should be kind of licking his chops a little bit here this week. Not that he isn't every week, but they just haven't performed defensively. And you know, I think the heat's starting to come on Joe Barry, the defensive coordinator, because I don't know how much more talent you could have on defense and still not perform the way they're expected to.
Yeah, rest assured, the Titans are going to look to run the football this week. That's something that they'll do. And it's funny you mentioned all the first-round picks on the defense. I guess that's what happens when, when Aaron Rodgers gets drafted in the first round, and then the next offensive player to get drafted is Jordan Love all these years later.
Yeah, you're right. The Packers haven't drafted an offensive player except for another quarterback in the first round, so. But you're right. They have loaded up. They've tried to fix this defense for years, to be honest with you. And, it just hasn't. I mean, they've had spurts of it. Their defense in 2010 was great in the playoffs and on the way to the Super Bowl. Their defense in 2014, when they got to the NFC Championship game against Seattle, was really, really good. Their defense was really good last year until the playoffs. I'm sorry, 2 years ago until the playoffs, and got torched by Brady. And the year before that, they were good until the playoffs and got torched by the 49ers in that playoff game. So it's just, they just haven't been able to put it together.
And just to round it out, Rob, you know, the move, Amari Rodgers, that one kind of, I know he has a bunch of fumbles, but man, I was just so surprised. A third round pick got released after 1 year into his tenure. What's going on with the punt return, kick return? What's that situation look like?
Yeah, they'll probably use Keyshawn Nixon, who was kind of – they signed him to be their kind of like special teams ace as a cover guy, you know, a flyer, a gunner, that kind of stuff. Well, they're probably going to end up – they used him in the game after they took Amari Rodgers out. Now, they did sign D.D. Westbrook this week, a veteran guy, but he's on the practice squad, so they would have to activate him tomorrow before game day, but he's got some return experience. But look – Amari Rodgers, I mean, he fumbled 5 times this year in what did they play, 10 games. And the worst part of it, too, is not just that. It's that he never was able to get on the field on offense. And, you know, for whatever reason, Aaron Rodgers just never liked him. He wouldn't even mention him when he would mention, like, receivers that he thought had a chance to help him. And, you know, he never got on the field. And third-round pick, it's going to go down as a bad pick, but partially is it going to go down as a bad pick because Rodgers wouldn't give the kid a chance? You know, I'm not so sure.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. I'm glad you shared that, because obviously Nashville, Tennessee. It's an hour and a half from Knoxville, but you know his dad, T. Martin, is a legend in our neck of the woods. So that's an interesting story. But yeah, Rob, I appreciate you coming on, man. I look forward to catching up with you tomorrow. We'll freeze together and you know do what we do.
Yeah, dress warm, buddy, and we'll see you at the stadium tomorrow.
Yes, sir. So that was Rob Demasi. Always good catching up with him, man. He's one of the ESPN NFL Nation veterans, and I really enjoyed talking shop with him. Once again, I mean, you're not going to get better content, better pulse on the Packers than you just got from Rob Demasi. So shout out to Rob. Appreciate Chris Sanders, Forever Titans receiver, coming on. Always good talking shop. Run TMC. Appreciate David James for, man, this was a juggling act this week.
Yes, so it was.
You, man. Making this thing work. Definitely outstanding job there. And most of all, we appreciate each of you. Check us out, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, Talking with TD. That's how you search it. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.